If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the love and light of the most radiant one within and without. This is the voice of the Ashtar Command, and I'm Commander Lady Athena. This evening our topic is Journey Through the Keyhole into the New Consciousness. So, we're entering an entirely new energy, one that is what we've all wanted, we've all prayed for it, and none of us really have a clue of how to negotiate within a totally unmarked, uncharted course. So we'll begin to move into that energy tonight and court it, and we'll prepare a place for it, and we'll hang out in it and have tea with it and see where it lands us. So let's take a deep breath and relax. And quietly close your eyes and bring your attention very gently, without forcing, to the screen behind your forehead. Now I immediately see a field of intense purple light, but that's because I've been doing this for a long time. And it's the lineage of the beloved, the travelers that I work with. So some of you may see that purple light and some of you may not, and it just doesn't matter. What is, and you just receive your portion, that which is for you. And as you gaze, some of you may have had this experience. For some of you, this will be your first time. And some of you may be beyond it and into a different level of experience. So again, learn to be very innocent in how you approach the inner tapestry of consciousness, the inner geography, so to speak, of the kingdom of heaven that is within you. When you first start the process of going within, it takes a while to learn how to see through the third eye, which is actually, as I've said before, not the chakra, the brow chakra, but it's actually an opening that's formed by the conjoining of the pineal and the pituitary auras. Those two glands have auras. And as those auras begin to communicate and resonate together, they form an overlapping zone, which will appear to you as you look through your forehead. So just take a moment and see what you see. Now, some of you may see something that looks very much like a keyhole. That's why I've entitled this show, Journey Through the Keyhole. I was meditating earlier today, and that's what happened to me. So I thought, you know, this is so cool, I'm going to just share it with everyone tonight. So the opening into this other world can take different forms. Some of you may see circles or a dot or a circle within a circle or an eye or a spiral or something that looks very much like looking up through the opening of a silo that opens into a starlit sky. Different people see different things. But if you see this or nothing, Still stay present and very innocent without forcing, because the minute you force, you seem to stop the process. So just hang out and keep your focus at the third eye area and let's see where it takes us. You can, as you do this at home, in your own leisure, you can combine it with a chant, which I will give you several examples. And what the chanting or the singing inside your mind, or audibly, you can do it, start it audibly. And then as you get into it, you can just fall into the silence and sing it inwardly, if you like. You'll know when that transition occurs. I like to use the hue because it raises the vibrations of the mental body very, very high, above that lower chit-chat of the social and psychic consciousness levels. Takes you up into the realm of the soul, which is just pure observer awareness. And when you move into that level, generally the whole field behind your eyes goes from purple and maybe blue. You might start with blue, go into the purple, and then it goes into brilliant gold. So some of you may see that opening as a brilliant gold orb, or as soft, diffused golden light. So again, just be with your own process. And you can chant hue or H-U. Combine it with your breath. And you can also use so hum. So hum is very good to balance the inner and the outer bodies. So you have more of an integration between the spirit and the physical. You can also use Anahi or Sai Ram. Or if you have a mind that just is crazy monkey, you can chant Rama, which is a very good balancing mantra. You could sing it like Rama. The Ra is the solar, and the Ma is the lunar current of consciousness. And this helps to synergize and balance the mind. And also, Rama is the name of God that really deals with negative thought forms. So it will transmute negativity in your consciousness. You could also use Yahweh or Jesus or Jesus Christus. So really the name is not so important as what really resonates as a vibration within you that represents to you the highest consciousness and the highest energy and evokes a sense of thrill and joy. I find that some of the names of God, when I chant them, I tremble with joy. They just give me such love and such joy. And they tend to change. You know, you tend to resonate different things at different times. So make it a practice to try a name of God, say, for example, maybe for a few days, and see how that works for you. And then you might want to try another one until you find the one that just resonates with every part of your being. And then you use that until the energy sometimes, you know, withdraws from that, and then you find another one. But this is how you can use the vibration, the power of the names of God to clear the chatter and the negative static in your inner consciousness and attune so that you can see more clearly. And you'll see different things as you go into these different levels. And the process of seeing is called Nirat. And you learn to hear spiritually in your third ear. and that is called Surat. And the two together form what's called the living word of God, or the Surat Shabd. And this is what draws you, just like the snake is charmed by the sound or the vibration of the flute of the snake charmer. Your mind will, in the same way, sit up and take attention and entrain to the vibration of the name of God. And that will carry the mind, which is like a stream of consciousness, it will carry it up to a higher degree of conscious resonance. And as you do that, you'll find you can move effortlessly in your spiritual inner awareness through that opening and just allow yourself to enter the kingdom of heaven like a little child, innocent and gently and with a sweet expectation and loving trust and devotion. And draw into your awareness someone or something that you love with all your heart. It could be anything. It could be even your pet or a child, your spouse, your parents, a loved one. And focus on how that love feels inside your heart area. Put all your attention into how that feels, that love. Imprinted so strongly that you can find that person as an energy inside your own body. You will be able in time to locate everything that you love within you as a very unique vibration. Because even though we are all droplets of immortal love, each one of our energy signatures as love is different. And that's why there is no form of love like another, even though we are all God's love, given visible manifestation. Now, as we enter this innocence of what we call the New Earth consciousness, let us make room and space to be filled with that portion that is for us tonight. Each one of us that's listening has a portion that is just waiting for you to make room to host it. So make a deliberate intention to expand and make room and receive now that portion that is yours of higher conscious awareness, of love, of divine joy. Take a deep breath and breathe in the unconditioned particles of pure, pristine love. Allow it to soak into yourself. Soak it into your DNA. Baptize yourself in the love of the Divine Mother, the Divine Shekinah, Divine Holy Spirit, the Universal Shakti. This is the era of Shekinah, the Holy Spirit. It is the age where she leads us, that which we call the energy of universal compassion, empathy, and love. We think of that as Mother, but actually it is like the matrix of all creation, because all of us are born of love, sustained by love, nurtured by love, and born again to eternal life through love. Every single quark of your being, a quark is the tiniest, so far measurable particle, subatomic particle, every quark of your being is made of love. You are love through and through. That is your nature. That is why, beloved, when you act in ways that are not loving, you feel so unhappy and miserable. And that is why, when you are loving, you have such a good feeling about things. That is why forgiveness feels good. Loving and giving and charity and generosity feel good. Being virtuous and kind and making excellent goal-fitting and life-enhancing decisions make you feel good. So practice observing the things that you do in your day-to-day walk that feel good. Good and God actually are the same thing. You'll often hear me say God evening, or God morning, or God day, because originally that was how people spoke. So God is good, and good is God. And you will feel good, or feel God, in your goodness, which is your godness. So use these as tracking homing devices, if you will, as you move in this new field of consciousness. We are focusing on it now as an energy, not so much putting form and conditioning on it, but learning to track it as a vibrational signature of goodness and happiness and love and joy. And as you get so used to moving in this higher consciousness, and each day if you sit down and practice it for just a little while, you don't have to spend hours, but if you just find some time that really works for you, usually first thing in the morning is good, last thing at night is good, but any time, as you practice this, you'll begin to build that vibration so strongly that ultimately you'll be able to call it forward at will. And that is the most wonderful thing that you can do for yourself now, is learn to call yourself forward into that loving at any moment. I mean literally, any moment. It's on tap. You know where to find it. You know how it feels. You know the vibrational signature. You know how to prime the pump. I've shared with you how I do it. It's very simple for me. I just open my palms upward. I take a deep breath. I raise my arms a little bit. And with all my intention, I connect with Father, Mother, God. I just take a deep breath. And the whole body is just filled with chills and joy and love. There's instant connection. And usually I just at that point fall into a deep silence, because I'm at that point now when I don't have anything to say. It's just the silence of being in the presence of eternal love, basking in that, soaking in that. You can learn to soak in that. Soaking prayer is where you put on a really beautiful piece of music, praise and worship, or whatever draws you into that inner self. And you just wait. You court. You invoke. And you sit in that communion process with the beloved. It's called soaking prayer. And you just allow the Spirit to minister to you, but also you are ministering to Spirit in your whole being, in your heart, with your intention, in spirit and in truth. This is the purest form of worship, and it will take you into absolute mystical union with God and complete bliss. That is really the sunum bonum of all meditational processes, is to bring you into that state. So it's worth practicing, and as I have shared with you this evening, it's a very, very simple practice. It's all about moving into that feeling of loving and imprinting that loving very strongly so that you can return to that again and again until eventually that's all that presents. After a while, you don't present anything else but the loving. That becomes your habitual, natural response to everything. Take another deep breath. Activate, decode, integrate, receive, absorb, and may this energy diffuse into every quark of your being now. And just see it like rivers of golden light flowing through your veins, your capillaries, your nerves, the synapses of your brain, into all of your cells, into the strands of your DNA. And see your whole body aglow with intense golden light. Every bit whole, every bit clear, every bit unified in oneness with the all that is. And just see your whole body as the Holy Grail that carries the Christ. For that truly, beloved, is who you are. Now, I want to get a little bit into a few topics about the sites and stages along the way that we're all going through. We're all in different stages of this process. But before we do, I have a little interesting tidbit. Some of you may have been fascinated, like I was, in seeing the UFOs that NASA is photographing. These are circular, planet-sized objects that are in great number around the sun. And I usually don't pay a great deal of attention to outer phenomena because most of it is projected from us in terms of our belief systems. But somebody, several people emailed me and asked me, so they said, what are they? So I didn't know what they were, so I had a look to see if I had received anything. And I was told this by the Ashtar Command, that these are very, very large solar observational worlds. They're the size of a planet, but they're actually motherships. They're circular, and they are observing, the solar scientists are observing the phenomenal data that our sun is generating as it goes through a massive cosmic initiation. This is incredible what's happening. I mean, it would have to be, if the inner Christ sun that we are is going through a massive collective initiation as we move into the new Earth consciousness, well, of course, the sun and the other planetary bodies are going to also reflect that process, because everything is going to its next level. Number one, that's what they're doing. Number two, there's a massive coronal emission that is headed to our Earth that is supposed to impact us on or around the 10th of this month, February. It's February 3rd, 2010, today. So we have this impact that's supposed to hit us around the 10th of the month. And what I was told by the Ashtar Command is that they are creating or have created a protective shield, because the fear is that these massive emissions at some point are going to threaten and even knock out our telecommunication devices and knock out our electrical grid. Well, of course, they're not going to let that happen. I mean, that would create just mass crazies on Earth. So, I mean, how precious is that, that we have brothers and sisters that care so much about you and me and this planet that they're out there safeguarding us? I mean, that is really unconditional loving service. And I just think we can send them a big, I love you, God bless you, thank you to the Galactic Command and all of those precious, precious brothers and sisters that are doing so much to serve us as we pass through this exquisite journey through the keyhole into the new Earth consciousness and new Earth orb. So that's what those orbs are, according to the information I've received. Now, your contact and awakening takes several different stages. And because I've had all of these experiences myself and at different times in my life, maybe that's true for everyone. But the first thing that happens to you when it's your time to awaken, bear in mind, not everybody. We're like a collective time release vitamin as starseed. You know, some of us awaken here and some of us awaken there. And the new kids getting born now, they're born awake. And yet we all have that process of officially being contacted and set upon our path, so to speak. So the first thing that happens to you when you're ready to awaken is that you are contacted. And usually people think that's their high self. It could be, it could take the form of an angel or a guide or Jesus or Mother Mary, a master, a spiritual traveler, or even an extraterrestrial contact or a UFO sighting. That awakening is going to happen in some way in one of those forms. And as I've said before, I've had all of the above happen to me at different times and places in my life. And it's pretty exciting. It's pretty thrilling when you realize they know you. You're marked. You have connections in high places. Every single one of you is special and has your own cheering squad all around you, your cheerleading team. So the contact may be initiated also or continued or actually, it's evoked usually by your own desire to know or to understand or to be more, or to know God or Jesus or the spiritual truth. Or, you know, you begin to ask, who am I? What's life all about? Why am I here? Those kind of questions immediately indicate your readiness to be contacted and awakened. So you'll have one of those experiences usually on the inner planes or in a dream. Or maybe a vision while you're, could happen anytime, anywhere. Another way is that someone may be sent to awaken you. Sometimes it's a person who actually steps from another dimension and materializes a form and poses as someone you know or meet. It's really interesting how that'll happen. or a friend may be guided to give you a book or introduce you to a spiritual teacher or a teaching. And generally, our spiritual contacts come about through your own spiritual upline lineages. I've spoken about this before. We come in through lineages. Now, often when you come in on a lineage, the first thing you think of is that, oh, gosh, I must be that person or that master or that teacher or whatever. And sometimes it's not that, but you're from that lineage or that inner mystery school or that ashram, or you have been birthed from the essence of that particular galactic being. And we call those oversoul extensions or monadic extensions. And that's why sometimes you'll have several people that think they're the same being or the same master. But generally I find it's lineage. We come in on the lineage of, for example, Archangel Michael or Saint Germain or the Master Moria or the Master Kutumi or Sai Baba or Ashtar or just, you know, add in your favorite name or John. The beloved. And so these are very, St. Francis, these are very common and familiar lineages that we come in through. There's also the whole lineage of the Divine Mother, Durga and Saraswati and Athena and Lakshmi and Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, and all of the different devatas, the divine devis, the mothers. Again, there's the office of the Divine Mother and the lineages that come through that. Then you have the office of the Son of God or the office of the Christ. And there you have Jesus and Sananda and Maitreya and Lord Buddha and the different and Krishna and Vishnu, those that manifest the Christ consciousness essence. And so we come in under these lineages. And so very often the teaching or the teacher that you're drawn to will be of that lineage, and you'll feel like that you know them, and they're familiar to you, and so that's where you tuck in. And then when you're ready to be advanced to another school, a good teacher usually guides you or releases you to that next classroom, because even though you have a homeroom teacher and a principal of that school, you're going to go and study in different schools and different colleges or different classrooms to master different subjects. So ultimately, we work with all of the masters of the spiritual hierarchy, whether they're celestial, extraterrestrial, ultra-terrestrial, or terrestrial. And that's just the way it is, and that's true for all of us. So the experience after you've had this encounter, my experience was like, wow, I had Claritin clear vision. I had Windexed eyes. I was like, I saw everything for the first time. And you have that feeling like your eyes are open for the first time and you're in love with life and everything that exists. And it's euphoric and joyful. And it's like all of nature is set aglow with beauty. So that's often what happens when you are contacted and awakened and you have that spiritual activation. This is such a powerful and life-transformative event that you're never quite the same afterwards. You suddenly develop a voracious appetite to inquire and seek out and research more information, and you begin to study spiritual topics. I remember when I first was contacted by the Ashtar Command, I couldn't stop reading UFO books. I was crazed to read anything I could get my hands on that spoke about off-planet, anything spiritual. And I was decoded and awakened in the 50s and 60s. So I had all those wonderful, wonderful books that were written by people who had actual physical encounters with space people who landed in the desert and were taken aboard ship and had real experiences of being taken to other planetary worlds where they would live for a period of time. Several of the people that I knew personally, like Hal Wilcox and, I can't remember all the names, but I knew quite a few of them back then that had actually been taken to other planets and had been taken aboard spaceships. And this is what happens. You just are really drawn to get the information that you need at that time to build in your understanding really, really quickly. Now, you may be led to others with similar interests. And today we have a whole worldwide network of connectivity through the internet groups. And somehow you're led to find these connections and to enter an outer community or a cyberspace community or both that is representative of your spiritual family of light. And this is your real extended cosmic family. That's why you can meet somebody and feel like you've known them forever. You don't even have to get to know them. You immediately recognize each other. I can immediately recognize people from the Ashtar Command. I just have a certain vibration that I recognize. So likewise, you recognize your home group. So one thing is absolutely for certain. You can take this one to the bank. You are never, ever alone again. It is your time to be activated, decoded, and guided to your divinely blueprinted mission, your purpose, and your function. So some of you have asked me different times, well, what does it mean to be activated and decoded, and what is my divine blueprint? Activation is when you encounter someone that has an activational energy. I would be one of those. I'm an activator. And through contact with me, through listening to the radio show, or through emailing me, or interacting with me in any way, shape, or form, you're automatically quickened and awakened to who you are within the Ashtar Command specifically, and within those lineages that I represent. Now, the second thing that happens is decodement. This is like what we would call on the internet unzipping. You unzip a whole bunch of files that give you the debriefing that you need to move forward in what is whatever your purpose is for incarnating. So let's say that you're a transmitter receiver for the Ashtar Command. Okay, we decode you, and all of a sudden you find that you're able to connect and receive telethought commission transmission from the Ashtar Command, and you begin to bring forward the messages. And it comes telepathically. It comes sometimes as an inner voice. You almost hear an inner voice, but it's more like a telepathic mind-to-mind transfer of information that just is dropped into your mind, and then you find yourself speaking it or writing it or teaching it. That's how I do my shows. It's activated and decoded and downloaded and unzipped, and then I just speak it out. So that's what happens to every one of you. You all have encoded messages in your light and sound components, those components of your consciousness that are specific to you and to why you've incarnated. Now, your divine blueprint is basically what God has created and purposed for you to do in this embodiment. You have a operational blueprint that your high self, which is your, let's say, the keeper of your mission for you, that is like the face of your soul. It's like your alter ego, your higher persona. That part of you stands forward in an archetype of some sort. It could be the goddess Isis. It could be the Hierophant. It could be Merlin. It will present usually as it could be the hero, it could be the crusader, it could be the Knight Templar. Usually it will have a persona, which if some of you have done these meditations where you connect with your high self, you'll actually see who that is. You know, it will present to you in that symbology. And that kind of lets you know the slant of your particular presentation. It's kind of like the costume that you're going to wear to go in and do your role on the stage of life. Now, your mission overall, this is everybody's mission, is to establish loving kinship with all life and all people, unity and oneness. and that would be the kingdom of God being established upon earth, and universal fellowship, and intergalactic peace, so that we have the peace that prevails on earth, within and without, and throughout the cosmos with our brothers and sisters of other worlds. That's the mission. Your purpose is your unique way of expressing that. It'll be your unique way of expressing love and unity and peace and loving kinship. And some people are rather quiet, and they're not flamboyant, and they're not very demonstrative. That's okay. You know, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is to quietly know and see and bear witness to the divine in other people, even if you never say a word, even if you never write anything. If you just have that as a knowing and see through the eyes of Christ with just love and benevolence, you're doing a tremendous mission just in that alone. So your function is to be love in action here. That is the function. You are to represent the love of God in form through human expression. And so that's your mission, your purpose, and your function. And then how you want to color that is up to you, and how you want to actually practically express it is, again, your own prerogative. So then the next stage you go through is preparation and purification. So your physical, emotional, and mental bodies must be cleared of static and brought to where they can consistently hold and maintain a higher vibrational rate. Then you generally find yourself drawn to some form of spiritual discipline that will help you do that. And you begin to cultivate the ability to maintain a high degree of light integration consciously and with full awareness. So like that love that we were working on earlier, you can tap into higher consciousness and move to that at will anytime you want to. And again, that is learned through consistently practicing your spiritual practice, whatever it is. Usually involves some form of meditational training. So as you train your emotional body to maintain a positive emotional attitude and feeling and impulse, you may have to do specific inner child work if you have some sort of traumas or things that you've brought over. There may be individual things that you need to do to facilitate that inner healing process. Human potential work is very good. Anger management, stress control, overcoming addictive patterns, healing and releasing anything that is not supremely loving or wholesome within you. That's what forms part of that preparation and purification that you need to go through. So then you train and discipline your mental body to hold steady and to be able to focus and visualize and see within and hear within. And again, the seeing within is the nirat, and the hearing within is the surat. And together, they allow you to be fed and nurtured and sustained by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, which is that living word that was in the beginning that fills you, that we call the Holy Spirit that dwells within you as the truth itself. In that process, you learn to discriminate between the real and the unreal, between that which is for you to do and that which is unnecessary for you to do. And you learn to discern what is of the spirit and what is of the ego, what is of the truth and what is of the distortion. And you begin to move through your life with great discrimination and discernment and selective direction so that you detach from the things that are ephemeral and transitory, and you keep yourself focused on the path, which you call the path at this stage of discipleship, because you have willingly submitted to the discipline required to be a disciple, a person that lives a disciplined, spiritually disciplined, committed life. And that is where most of us are always, because we're always a disciple to the next level that we are training to move into. So we're all disciples. And the third stage is participation and actualization. And all of these blend together. It's not like you just do one and then you go to the next. They all kind of are part of your process of unfoldment. But empowerment, by definition, is sustained connection with spirit. So you practice staying connected and living from your center. And that becomes your empowerment and your self-confidence. But it's not the confidence in the lower self. It's the confidence in the divine self that you're connected with and moving with, flowing in the spirit, so to speak. The fourth stage is the manifestation of that. And that's when you move into oneness with what we could call the guru. And I like the word guru because the acronym for the word guru is G-U-R-U. So you find out, G-U-R-U. And thus you manifest your combined overall energy signature. And you become the teacher of love, because that's the only thing to be taught here, is love. So the manifestation of all of your work and preparation and activation and decodement, all of that, is that you simply began to resonate the purity of your own unique divine energy signature, which is love expressed through the chrysalis of your own unique sonship with God. So the key to whatever it is that you want to manifest is what you are feeling. Your feelings are everything in this new quantum universe. Everything is about feeling. Your feeling is your real prayer. Not your words. Your feelings are interpreted as what you want more of. So your feelings are a result of the combination of your thoughts and beliefs wedded with your emotional content. They're not the same as your emotions, but they're the derivative of your emotional state, which is really the result of what you've decided to think and believe about things in your life. So that's why we need to watch where we place our thoughts and watch what we condition into a belief and make sure that it works for us. And we know it works for us if we are moving into greater loving and greater freedom, which lets us know that we are in connection with truth, because it's only the truth that will allow you to have that sense of stepping free and living in the higher consciousness. So the combination of your thought and your emotion produces your feelings, and the universe will respond to your overall feeling and mirror it back to you as your life content and experience. So when you look around your environment and you see the different things that you have in your life, that is mirroring back to you your overall feelings. And you can always change them by deciding again what you want to think about, what you want to take on board as a belief, and what you want to do in terms of managing your emotions and directing them in a positive way. And when you do that, you'll see that your feelings change and thus your life content shifts. So the key to producing what you want is the feeling that you already have it. So whatever it is that you think you want, again, like in our very first exercise when we started tonight, go to the place where you can generate the feeling of having that. Pretend like you already have it. Like in the movie The Secret, where the man visualized, you know, sitting behind the car and holding the steering wheel in his hands and putting the car in gear and feeling it go underneath him. make it as vivid as you can in your feeling until you buy it. You totally buy into it. And I told you the time that I thought I had won several million dollars. And for about a period of 2 weeks, I lived from the havingness of unlimited wealth. It was so much fun that when I found out it was just all bogus, I didn't even care, because I have forever maintained that sense of having unlimited abundance. And because of that, I do. Not that I'm all that wealthy, but everything I need is always supplied. And I don't even doubt that or question that or give it any thought. And that's one of the values of owning abundance, owning worthwhileness, owning support, owning your deservability to have everything that God wants you to have. You know, it says in the Bible that it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. It's his good pleasure to usher you into this new consciousness and in this new earth. So go for it. Now, this age of the Holy Spirit, the Divine Mother, is interesting because it's very, very powerful. The Divine Mother, the Shakti principle, is always the power drive of the male. For example, we call the twin flame of Archangel Michael, the twin flame of Archangel Michael is faith. What does that mean? It means that faith is the Shakti, or the power of Archangel Michael. So if you look at the feminine representation as the power drive of that manifestation, for example, I'm the twin flame of Ashtar. What is Athena? Athena represents wisdom and truth. What does Ashtar represent? Immediately, and if you ever met Ashtar, and many of you have, the first thing you get from him is that he is just pure truth and pure wisdom. And where does he get that from? His Shakti. What's his Shakti? His feminine energy. So if you think of the age of the Holy Spirit as the age of the actual power of God, which is not up in the sky, it's inside you. When Jesus ascended and sent the Holy Spirit to fill the disciples that were waiting and told to wait in Jerusalem in the upper room, they were filled with power of the Holy Spirit, filled with truth, filled with awareness, filled with knowledge, filled with ability to heal and to set people free and to be the powerful apostles that they were and are still. Now, today, the Holy Spirit's being poured forth on all flesh. Everybody who will receive is receiving an activation of that Holy Spirit energy, which is within everyone who's made a commitment to God. But it may not be expressing through you because you may not know how to operate in it. So one of the big things that's happening to us at this time is that we're getting in touch with the power of the living God that lives inside of us, that dwells inside of us, and we're learning how to release it in ways that are love-driven, not ego-driven or mind-driven, but heart-driven, heart-inspired, heart-impulse, so that we learn to live the empowered, heart-centered approach to life. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. That's how the new earth functions. To heart-centered manifestation, the feeling of the heart, which is not emotion, it's purity, it's innocence, it's the heart of the child before it's become conditioned. It's the heart of the mother who only has one desire, and that is to bestow life and that more abundant. So the Divine Mother is everyone. Everyone on earth that's in a form is considered to be feminine. All forms of the material world are feminine to God. The only male is Purusha, which is the lingam, that which penetrates the yoni of the divine matrix, the divine mother, and through that joining produces the sons and daughters of God, the female Christs and the male Christs, and the unification of the male and female Christhood, which is the oversoul consciousness that we're moving into. So we don't want to polarize where we go from a male-dominated society to a female woman-dominated society, but we want to be he, she, he, in perfect balance, so that the male and the female principle within us is completely balanced. And that's what we're looking to do and bring forward. So, another principle of our new earth is that we're becoming aware that we're all connected through a holographic, morphogenic energy field. We're all in this field of energy, which is completely one and all-inclusive, and everything and everyone is connected to everything and everyone, and all of life is one living field of life force energy. So we're learning there are no secrets, that everything affects the whole. Whatever we think in our mind is communicated to the whole of existence. The smallest little movement of love sustains the love in everyone. The smallest little degree of joy is increasing the joy of the whole collective. And whenever we make a choice for peace, we establish peace on earth. So that's the energy that we're learning to move towards and embody consistently, is the love and the peace and the joy of this higher consciousness. Now, since you are recognized as your energy signature, it's interesting to realize, too, that you are a hologram in the sense that your image, your energy signature, appears in the largest manifestation of the whole and in every tiny little fragment of the whole. And that's why, like God, because you're made in the image and likeness of God, you are omnipresent. Yes, you're everywhere, in everything, in everyone. And, of course, most of us aren't aware of that because that state is called God consciousness or Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And usually you don't function very well in the world at all, if at all, when you reach that state. So most of us don't function in that state because we're positioned throughout the grid in different levels of consciousness to hold the whole thing consistent so that souls can graduate and matriculate to the levels they need to manifest upon. And so far we want the creation to continue going on. We don't want it to disappear in a blaze of light. So this is why we hold different positions in the consciousness fabric. Now, neither time nor distance separates anything. Both time and a sense of separation are born of the ego mind or the separative mind, which we are jettisoning. That's being tossed out. That's being transcended as we move into this new earth. We won't have that, which means we're losing this sense of time and this sense of separation, which produces an interesting sense of self here. As we finish this last little dance in this particular dimension. So those are illusions, a sense of time and the sense of separation that we're leaving behind as we awaken to a new way of living and experiencing ourselves. So our thoughts and feelings determine where we are. That is why when you love someone, they're always with you, and vice versa. So you will always have the one you love with you. That's why when we started our meditation tonight, I wanted you to find and begin to practice finding the people you love inside your energy. Find them right inside your heart chalice area, the upper torso of your body. You will locate them as an energetic signature inside you. And that is so comforting if you've lost someone who has it through death or, you know, whatever. It's so wonderful to find that you haven't lost them at all, that they're still with you. And yes, you will reconnect again when we awaken from the dream of death and move back into the immortal life that is our true place. So the new consciousness paradigm contains actually the best of spirituality and mysticism wedded with the newer sciences of the string theory, quantum physics, and the more ancient esoteric science. So that's what we're moving into. Now, it's a little... I'm assuming I can go over tonight, since I don't have anyone after me. So interrupt me, say it, Seth, if I'm not supposed to go over my time limit, because I have more to share. So there's a really interesting experiment that I wanted to share with you that proves the fact that we're all connected and that time and space and distance means nothing in the quantum universe. And this is it. They've done tests where they have put little wiring and little whatever you call them on plants and on the owner of the plant. And they have shown that no matter how far away that owner of the plant travels, whatever the emotional state is of the owner affects the plant. The plant will react. The same thing with pets. They find that your pets react to whatever the owner is experiencing, no matter how much distance is away. In a similar way, a mother always knows what's going on with her child. Same thing. Now, this is another thing that was interesting. They took DNA samples with a swab, you know, inside a person's cheek, and they put it under one of these gadgets, whatever they are, and the DNA on the swab reacted to what the person that they'd taken the DNA from was experiencing. Isn't that amazing? So what it proved is that we're all woven in what we call the great cosmic DNA, which is the love and the wisdom and the power of God that forms what is called the Sutratma in the human being, which is formed of the positive and the negative, or the male and the female, and the central current of energy, which goes right up the spine. It's called the Ida, Pingala, and the Shikshuna, or the Adhikarana, the interconnecting consciousness. That's a great DNA of consciousness that weds us and weaves us within the DNA of what we call the grand heavenly man or God. So you see how you're made of the warp and the woof of God? Your very DNA is impregnated with God. It's the God DNA. There's no difference. You are one with your Creator, eternally and forever and always. So this is what is so incredible about moving into this higher quantum consciousness and universe that we're moving into. It's just, to me, it's just the most thrilling time imaginable as we explore what it is to move beyond what we've thought limited us and held us consistent in a dog-eat-dog world, for, you know, want of a better description. So I hope this inspires you as much as it does me, because I think it's so exciting. So as you go deeper and deeper in your union with God, it becomes less and less phenomenal and more subtle until you are so merged with God that you no longer experience God. You become one with God. How can I describe that? You go from noise to silence. You go from begging and petitioning and bargaining and asking and imploring to silent communion, holy communion. Is where you're in one union with God. And you're silent as the bee that's drinking nectar at that point. And that's why silence is the language of the realized. There's nothing more to be said. So we're ascending now into this new version of the earth. And if you can imagine this, and it's important that we do, this earth is filled only with love and peace and beautiful creative expressions and joy. That's it. That's all that's there. So you can begin right now to live in that world. And I'm going to give you a few simple ways that you can start doing it. Number one, find that love and that feeling of love so that you can self-generate it at will. Number two, start by pretending you're already living in a world of pure love and act from that. Just don't even think that there's anything around you but love. See through the eyes of love. Put on those rose-colored heart-shaped glasses. Wear those. And generate that feeling of love by thinking of someone or something you truly love. That's why it's so wonderful if you fall in love with Jesus or God, or, you know, where you just see that beloved everywhere you look. That's the easiest way. But whatever way you can connect with loving, do it. And whatever works for you, just bring that loving vibration consistently forward, moment by moment, day by day, until it becomes the only thing that you bring forward. Now, upon that vibrational wave of love, everything else flows into your life. Someone asks, well, will that pay my rent? Yes, it absolutely will pay your rent. Why? Because you'll stop worrying. The minute you stop worrying and you begin to trust and live in love and devotion, the ideas and the creative solutions just flow into you, and you just find yourself drawn to the right person at the right time, and the right answers come to you, and the right situations, and doors fly open, and help comes from all sides when you're resonating that divine love. I know I live that way. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have that in my life. So I can say that for absolute certain, that all you need to do is love, and everything else is added to you. Everything else. What does it say in the Bible? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and its righteousness, and its dharma. You know, it's right usedness, it's right connection, it's right kinship, and everything else is added unto you. So that is so, so, so true. So your physical and your health and your mental and your emotional problems all get resolved. That's like the one pill that cures all that ails you, is that love. So really work on your love walk and your love talk and your love thought and your love presentation, and everything else will flow to assist you. When you love, it's like everything in creation coordinates to bless, support, nurture, sustain you, and you're restored. Everything is regenerated and restored to new life as you fill yourself with love. And if you have pain or illness in your body, put your hand on that place and say, you're already healed. You're healed and whole. Thank you. Thank you that you are healed and whole. And just send love into every cell of your body. Just suffuse yourself with an inner baptism of love as often as you possibly can. Now, as we enter this new-based, love-based earth, our outworn concepts of how we think and believe or imagine that we are limited begins to fall away. You're gonna lose an awful lot of what you thought defined you. And I want to really address this because I've come up upon this myself, and it really feels weird. Initially, you may feel confused, as if you can't remember, or you can't even remember what you believed about whatever. And you try to draw forth an opinion or take a stance on some issue that used to be really important to you, only to discover that you don't have any. You can't even remember what your former issue was, or your former stance, or your opinion, or what it was that bugged you, or whatever. It's just gone. So, no, you're not becoming senile. You are losing your limitations. You are losing your issues. And you are finding a new walk that is love-based, and a new life in a new dimensional level that we call the new earth. So, there's people I know that's going to go to great lengths to judge themselves and attribute this state to something being wrong with them, or losing their minds or their memory, or some even feel like they're losing control of their lives as if they were ever in control to begin with. So do yourself a favor and just default on innocence and just say, you know what? I don't know what I think or what I believe about that. Whatever it is, God knows, and he's going to sort it out, and I'm just going to stay connected to God. So we're leaving the old earth, and we're being delivered from our old mindsets, our old grievances, our old issues, our old problems, everything that kept us isolated, and from experiencing just the pure pleasure and feeling of love and joy all the time. We're being delivered by grace from those outworn garments. So whatever works really well, what works really well for almost every one of us is importing more and more beauty and sweetness into our lives. So look at your life and the situation in which you find yourself. And here are some simple ways to import sweetness and beauty and more love into your immediate environment. And again, you adapt this to what works for you. Number one, start and end each day with an expression of gratitude. Very simple. Number two, bring some plants or fish or birds into your environment. A window, windowsill herb tray, potted plants, create a terrarium, like a little mini world that you can pretend that you get real teeny tiny and enter and play in. You can create all sorts of little imaginative things with plants and terrariums and work with your environment to just bring as much life and beauty as you possibly can. Or you can create an indoor and outdoor garden with flowers or vegetables or potted fruit trees, whatever your living condition and lifestyle permits. Or you can adopt a dog or a puppy or a kitten or even a child. You can actually adopt, or you can adopt through the Internet by donating $20 a month to a group like, for example, World Vision. And then you can write to your child and participate in their life, but you never actually meet them unless, of course, you go to Africa or India or wherever they happen to be to meet them. But in that way, you have a relationship, but it's monitored, let's say. Number two, you can, or number four, you could volunteer one day a week to your local food bank, or once a month or whenever, or you can join a team that goes out and ministers to people in the neighborhood by cleaning it up, or hospices or hospitals or jails or prisons or orphanages, convalescent homes. There's lots of groups that go out and minister to people on a regular basis, and those will bring you so much joy and fulfillment you can't imagine if you get involved in other people's lives. I would really advise you cease watching TV and movies that drop your energy and leave you sad or depressed. Don't watch the news or criminal shows if these leave you upset. I personally can't stand to watch any kind of criminal activity. Just completely, I find abhorrent. And you probably do too once you get to a certain level of loving. You just can't bear to see people abusing other people, even if it's just pretend. And just really watch what you put into your mind and you feed yourself on a consistent basis. Realize that your immune system is strengthened just by watching acts of service and loving kindness. So how wonderful it is to get DVDs and really seek out things that are positive and inspiring and hopeful and feel it, how it builds in joy and confidence and faith and makes you feel very mellow and peaceful inside. So you're creating a lifestyle regimen of uplifting activities at this point. You can create a meditation corner or a personal shrine. That's a wonderful way to keep yourself reminded of the importance of importing the sacredness into your environment. You can listen to really beautiful, uplifting music or learn to play an instrument or join a choir or singing group. You can practice Tai Chi or Qigong or Hatha Yoga or Pilates, or you can take a dance class. The adult educational department usually offers all sorts of things of this nature. You can join the Y and swim every day, or get a hot tub or a mini swim tank. So these are all ways that you can begin to bring in new energy and vital energy and new experiences and things that you can enjoy that lift and raise your vibrations. You can practice making more healthful dietary choices. You can go hiking, horseback riding, play golf, or practice a sport you really enjoy. But try to get outdoors and in the fresh air and sunlight frequently. And walking is great for most people. So if you happen to have gotten yourself a dog or have a dog, that will give you a perfect reason to go out and walk at least twice a day. Another thing is to consider repainting a wall or a room, or you think a brighter color would pick up your spirits. And find ways to bring more color into your environment through throw cushions or lap covers or area rugs. Get into feng shui if you feel drawn to the more esoteric art of environmental engineering and ambience. Or take an art class, or just do artistic expression. Or you can pose for art classes. I used to do that a lot. I would pose for different artists and different groups in the colleges, and I really enjoyed it very much. You can join a meditation group or start one. Or you can start a group around a study like A Course in Miracles or the Bible or A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle is a wonderful book that you could use in a group study. Or you can take an online course, The Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, and James Twyman and others offer wonderful online courses that you can take. And that way you can, again, participate in the global community of lightworkers. You can start a blog and try your hand at writing, or you can submit your writing for publications in a magazine even. You can join Twitter and tweet your spiritual message to the world. You can join Facebook and create a community of like-minded friends that you share with daily. And there's just so many ways that you can join in and participate now and express your wisdom and your truth and your loving and your ministry and be part of this collective advancing light of higher consciousness that's sweeping the world now. It's sourcing through you. It's sourcing through me. And these are all ways that we can really begin to participate in this new earth. And as we do, we find that we are co-creating it out of our own loving, our own joy, our own fulfillment, our own peace, our own daily walking in the light and the truth that we have embraced of and understood and taken on board for ourselves. So another thing I think is important is to make the decision that if it doesn't uplift you and make you happy and bring you into greater joy and loving and beauty, get rid of it. Don't hang on to it. Release the things in your life and make room for the things that give you more love and joy and peace. I'm not talking about throwing away people, but I'm talking about objects. When you realize that every object holds energy, and many things, we hang on to them because they have sentimental value. But when you resonate what that is, it's not exactly uplifting. So begin to examine what you have held around you and get rid of the things that aren't part of your new consciousness and your new level. My friend, Aluna Joy, she was so funny. Every time she'd come back from a journey to Maya land in the Yucatan, she would have to get rid of her furniture and everything. she said everything just had to go. It had old energy and she couldn't stand it anymore. So you get like that. It's like you have stuff in storage for years and then you get it. You get it out and it's like you can't even relate to it anymore because you're in a whole different life and a whole different energy. So look at your stuff in your life and look at everything and see what you can do to bring in more beauty and more love and more joy and the things that represent that to you. In the new earth consciousness, we demonstrate we have by giving. So we give what we would like more of. And we understand that giving and receiving are one and the same action. We receive as we give. And the simple proof of it is this. Notice that the minute you give someone else joy, just notice that instantly you will feel joy yourself. And whether that's a gift or an act of kindness, you feel this tremendous joy that comes. So thus we are learning to give love and to receive love so that we can have love and know that we have love. So this is these are some of the ideas I wanted to share with you tonight. And so to bring happiness to others, we experience happiness ourselves. And as we choose peace, peace becomes present and touches to the whole of life. And so we say collectively tonight in closing, May peace and love and joy express through me and touch to all the worlds and all beings everywhere. And let's close with three nice shanti, 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 which means peace in Sanskrit. Deep breath. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Good evening. God bless you. And I will be seeing you, God willing, next week, Adonai.